Lord's good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed this morning?
Amen.
You know, you might say, no, I'm not really that blessed. No, you're here this morning, you're blessed.
Amen.
Amen. You got a home, you're blessed. You got your health, you're blessed. You got a vehicle, you're blessed. You got food, you're blessed.
Amen.
But you got Jesus, you're the most blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you could open to Psalms 127. Psalms 127 and verse 1. And we're going to pray and believe God for utterance, because you don't need to hear my thoughts and my opinions. You need to hear from Him.
Amen.
This is our visitation right now. This is where we hear from heaven concerning our life and what God has for us. So, Father, help us. Lord, we're here this morning, and it's just so humbling to be able to share Your Word with such precious people. And, Father, I thank You, Lord, that as I've waited on You to find out what You want me to say, Father, I thank You that You'll help me deliver that which You've put on my heart. And Lord, as I open my mouth, I thank You that You will fill it. And Lord, I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I know that You're trying to drive home some things today and trying to bring people to a higher level. So Lord, I thank You that people will receive and they'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. Lord, hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that is say things through me, Father, that are so pertinent to their life, where they're at. Direct help from You to them this morning. And Father, we'll give You the praise for it. We'll give You the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Psalms 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And that's all I want to focus on. The rest of the verse has other implications and things we could look at, but not today. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, when I was praying just a second ago, you know, I had mentioned about how we're trying to pull you up higher into a greater level. You know, that's one of my desires. I remember the baseball coach that I had. His name was Doug Ewing. He was my favorite baseball coach by far. He was an absolute genius when it came to sports. He, just to kind of give you an idea about him, he used to coach a middle school girls. Actually, it might have been less than middle school, I guess. Middle school starts around fifth grade. It might have been a little bit younger than that. But anyways, he coached a middle school girls basketball team, and they would beat the other team 30, 40 to 2 or 3 points. Well, he had them running a college offense for middle school. He's just, and I know that seems excessive, but that's, he was very excessive when it came to that stuff. And he was a genius and helped me so much. And, you know, one thing I've shared, you know, is that if there was anything that I was good at in life, there isn't very many things, you know, naturally that I'm good at or have skills at, but baseball was one of them. It came easy to me. It was just a piece of cake for me. I loved it. And if I wasn't such a basket case in my head growing up, you know, I would have gone a lot farther with it. And that's just the truth. But I was messed up in my head, you know. I had to get Jesus in and help me. But anyways, you know, I oftentimes would have the best game on the team, you know, and be the best player of both teams. And that coach would pull me off to the side, you know, and he would reprimand me for something. I mean, he just would try to find anything. And, you know, there's a temptation to want to get upset, but I never did because I wanted to be the best I could be. And there were certain people on the team he couldn't talk to about things there were people on the team that had far more talent than I, were bigger, stronger, taller, faster, could throw harder. But I always outdid them and was far more excelled in baseball than some of these people. And it was just, a lot of times they couldn't say anything to him. You know, they'd get offended, they'd be touchy and stuff. I welcomed it.
Amen.
Because I wanted to be pulled up higher, praise God. And I kind of feel like him, you know, where I'm just never going to back off trying to pull you up higher and trying to pull you into better. Because as a shepherd, it's hard maybe for you to understand this, being a sheep and not being the shepherd's position. You have such an intense love and caring for the sheep. In fact, the Bible says the good shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep. Well, that's sacrifice. That's love. Amen? And you have such an intense love and passion for the sheep. You just want to see them so blessed, walking in God's highest and best. And the way that I know that I can get you walking into God's highest and best is get you in line with His Word. And a lot of times we're outside the boundaries of His Word, not living in His Word, and you just want to pull people into that. Amen? You want to pull people. You know, sometimes people when they're, maybe in a fire or in an accident, you know, what will they do with it? They'll have to pull them out of that danger. Just drag them out of that thing. And sometimes that's what you have to do as a pastor. You just try to pull people out of their mess. And that's one of those services today that the Lord has put on my heart. And He says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And, in your life, day to day, you're building something. You're building something. Your little kingdom, your little house, your little situation, you're building something. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You're building something. And the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. What is the house? The house is your life.
Right, yeah.
It's not just talking about, God coming down with this tool belt and building a house for you. It's the house of your life, your world. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, it's interesting that word vain there. That word vain means uselessness. It means emptiness. It means nothingness. It means worthlessness. So you could say it this way. Unless the Lord is the one building and constructing and framing your house, what you're building, if it's not the Lord building it, in His eyes, and I'm going to explain why, it's worthless. It's nothingness. It's emptiness, praise God. It's useless. That's what He said. Hallelujah. And so many times I see people as their pastor, and I see them being busy little bees, and they're building things, and they're working at things, and they're striving for things, and their attention and their time and their energy and their effort are going into building things that are worthless, that are useless, that are nothingness. Why? God's not involved in it. And that's what the Bible says. And you spend all this time, and I'm here to tell you, stop wasting your time and start doing things right. It's not only for your benefit now, but going forward into eternity. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. But I remember as a young boy, we had 102 acres along the Conowango Creek in Frewsburg. And I missed that property so much, we had to sell that years ago. But that was almost like my personal little playground, it was where I could go out in the woods and hunt. And my favorite, absolute favorite place in the world is to be in the woods. I just love being in the woods. And I'd spent all my time there, hunting and different things. And one time when I was younger, I came across a bunch of old boards on the property. And I remember discovering these old boards there. And I grew up between two houses growing up. My parents were divorced. I grew up between my mom's house in Jamestown during the week and then my dad's house in Frewsburg. And on the weekend, I'd go there in Frewsburg and spend time, in summer times, I'd go there as well at times. But where I lived in Jamestown, not too far from our house, some older teenage kids had built a fort not too far from the house, and this thing looked like something that was like out of Lord of the Rings. I mean, it had a swinging bridge, and it had like these towers, and it had all these little hideouts, and it was a little boy's dream. So when I found the boards, I had an idea. I'm going to build that. But the problem is I'm not a builder. I don't know very much about building. But I found these boards, and I went and got some nails, and I went and got a hammer, amen? And so I started constructing it and building it and trying to do my best and trying to make it work. And I'm putting it up, and I'm spending all day out there. I mean, I'm sweating. And down there along the Conowango in the summertime, man, there's mosquitoes. And I was getting bit up, and I built all this thing and was so proud of it. And it just, I mean, back then I thought, wow, I'm doing it. And my dad came along and saw it. And his first reaction was he started laughing. And he said, you're not getting in that. You're not getting in that for my own good. You know what he told me to do? He said, tear it down. Tear it down. What did dad say? What you just spent your time on was worthless. And it was. Because it was unsafe and it was not constructed right and I couldn't get in. He wasn't trying to be mean. He was being helpful. But he said, it's worthless. It's emptiness. You did that in vain. All that time and energy you put, you did that in vain. And the father's looking at many of his children's lives and saying, why are you doing that? That's worthless. Why are you doing that? That's in vain. Why are you doing that? That's going to lead to nothingness. Why are you doing that? That's going to lead to emptiness. Why are you building that with your kids? That ain't going to lead to anything good. Come on. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so I want to ask you this morning, what you're building upon, every good structure has a foundation. What's your foundation of what you're building on? Because you have one of two choices. You can either build on the foundation of the world, or you can build on the foundation of the Word. Pay attention, kids. You can build on the foundation of the world, or you can build on the foundation of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something about building on the foundation of the world. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 15. Let's see what the Bible says about the world. Say, Pastor, this sounds harsh, you know, that God says we're building on nothing. It's my job to tell you so He doesn't have to.
Amen.
1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now let me read this in the Amplified Bible. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love of the Father, or for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way. Oh, that's Christians. Wanting everything for yourself. Wanting to appear important. Has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Now, it's interesting that he talks about eternity there. Because when you talk about eternity, a lot of times people will let it go in one ear and out the other because they're so consumed with the here and now, they don't even give a rip about eternity. But let me tell you something, that's short-sighted. That's short-sighted. Why is that short-sighted? Because that's where you're going to spend your forevers, is in eternity. And it's short-sighted to say, I'm not concerned about that time. But I'll also mix in the here and now because I know how carnal people can be at times. And they want to know, how does this benefit me now, the here and now? And it benefits you in the here and now. But he says that the world, go back to the King James if you would please, Heather. Says that the world, in verse 17, is passing away. So why would we build our life on something that is passing away and withering away? Why would we do that? Well, we've been hoodwinked by the devil. And when it talked about in the Amplified about what's important to me, my desires, my wishes, that's what you deal with when you deal with a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
What can I get out of this? What can I do for my life? What can I make sure I'm fulfilling? And God's not even in the equation. And if He is, He's just kind of, you know, He kind of fits the role of bingo. Or recreation, or this and that. And if we can fit him in, we'll fit him in. It's wrong. He says, whoever does what God wants is set for eternity in the Amplified. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Building on the world or building on the Word? What are you building your life on? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Look what Paul says. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear, all, everybody say all.
All.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive things done in his body, or things done in this life. Things you've built in this life. You will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you will give account. And unfortunately, well, let's go on and just read the rest of the verse, and then I'll tell you the unfortunately. According to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, we already know the Word says that if we're just living in the world, living for the world, and just our focus is the world, Our focus is everything for our kids in the world. Everything's focused for our life in the world. You're off. You're out of order and you're wrong. And he says you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ for things done in the body. And unfortunately, it's going to be a wake-up call for people. Because many Christians don't do a lick for him. It's, I want to make sure my needs are met, make sure my family's healthy, make sure I'm blessed, not concern myself with the church, not concern myself with the kingdom of God, not concern myself with the fact that my children, don't get me started about kids now, that my kids have a specific plan that God has for them. And as the parent and the guardian, it is your responsibility in God's eyes to make sure that your children fulfill the plan that He has for them. How? You say, well, I can't determine what they're going to do with their 18, 19, and 20. No, but they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, when you're in your care, is going to mold them in the right way. And it is your job to instill these things in them. Why? They ain't going to instill them themselves. But unfortunately, people instill nothing but the world, the world, the world, the world, the world in their kids. And they're instilling something that's worthless and nothingness and emptiness. Does that mean you can't enjoy this life? No, it doesn't mean that. But our priorities are out of order. And someday we're going to stand before Jesus. And what about it, parents? This isn't just a message for parents. Because even in your own life, if you're not a parent or if your kids are already gone, you have a life to be lived, something to build going forward. And what's he going to say to you, parents? Hey, you know what? Your child was destined for this, but you know what? You never made it a priority. Me, I was never a priority. Soccer was a priority. Baseball practice was a priority. It's the truth, man. I tried to help you. Because we're going to stand before Jesus, and you know what you're going to say? If you do this, you're going to say, thank God for Pastor Mike Anderson. That's what you're going to say. Because some people are going to stand before Jesus, and unfortunately, they're going to be ashamed. You say, really? That's what the Word says. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 28. Don't worry, we'll make it up to you with hot dogs and hamburgers. 1 John 2 and verse 28. I wonder sometimes if our family members and our coworkers, can they even see God in us, or do they see nothing but the world? We talk like the world. We live like the world. We put the things in our body that the world puts in our body. We go places that the world goes. Do they even see God in you? Is there any evidence of God? Or is it just, you know, on Sunday I'll play my God every once in a while. Just because I want to ease my conscience because I don't want to miss out on the blessings. 1 John 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him. That when He shall appear, not He might appear, He's going to appear. You may have confidence and not be ashamed at Him before His coming. When Jesus comes back, the Bible calls Him the husbandman. The Bible calls us the bride. Amen? Amen? The Bible calls Him the husband, and we're the bride of Christ. We're waiting for His return to show up. When He shows up, we're going to meet Him and be with Him, right? That's our big moment, praise God. How terrible to have the greatest moment. That's what everything's culminating, is that moment we see Christ, to go with our head down. And if you don't abide in Him, what's Him? Not the world. Remember what I said? You have two choices. You can build on the world or you can build on the Word. He is the Word. We're going to look at that second foundation here in a second. If you'll abide in the Word, you won't be ashamed at His coming. But if it's world, 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 and God's just off in the distance, you know, kind of a blip on the radar, you'll be ashamed when He comes back. And ladies and gentlemen, you might not have a revelation of it now, but that is the greatest moment in your life, is when you meet Jesus in the air and come face to face with Him. And some people say, oh no, don't come yet, Lord. Don't come yet, Lord. Don't come yet, Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, it's a sobering message, I know. Say, why'd you save this for picnic day? I didn't. This is what the Holy Ghost said to share. If you think I enjoy sharing messages like this, faith messages are way more fun to preach. Way more fun to preach than this. But if the Holy Ghost wants this preached, that's what we're going to share. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Now, if you read the verses before, it talks about a husband and a wife. But he interchanges between the husband and the wife and between Jesus the husband and the church as the bride. And he says in verse 27 that he might present it, the body of Christ, to himself. How do we know it's talking about the body of Christ? Because he goes on to say, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Why are people going to be ashamed to meet him? Because they're not holy. They're not without spot and blemish. They're consumed with the world and the darkness of the world, and they're his children. Now think about this. When there's a wedding, the weddings that I've done, it's a huge event for the woman, right? You know, I always say when I meet with the future husband and the future wife, I say, just know whatever she wants goes. Whatever she wants goes. It's her big day, you know. And, you know, I've yet to have a wedding where the woman comes down the aisle and her hair's all frazzled, messed, and undone, just looks like she just got out of bed in the morning. She didn't do, her makeup is smeared all over, and you can tell she didn't look in a mirror when she did it, and her dress is super wrinkly, and it's got ketchup stains on it. I've yet to see it. I've yet to see it. You want to know why? Because when she shows up at the end of the aisle, why is she there? I want to show my man. I'm presenting myself for him, and I want to look wonderful. You know, they're not here today, but Cody and Cassie, they just had their wedding. When Cassie came down the aisle, she looked like a beautiful bride. Not someone that just climbed out of bed and was eating Tim Hortons on the way and had coffee stains on her, you know, and just rushing down the aisle. No, it's her big moment to present herself. Jesus is our groom. We are his bride. We are his bride. And don't get worked up, guys, about being called the bride. Remember, your pastor was a maid of honor one time. So, that's a true story. I was the maid of honor. You say, did the dress fit? Well, they didn't make me wear a dress, thankfully. I don't think I look very good. Y'all know about my calves. I mean, you're going to see them today. They're going to be on full display at the picnic. My calves, I mean, I'll tell you what, that would not look good with high heels and a dress. Oh, I'd look so awkward in those things, you know? Everybody's going to be not looking at my eyes today. They're going to be looking down at my legs talking to me. There they are. You're going to see them. Anyways, he's like the bride. And people are going to be ashamed at him. Why? Consumed with the world. Consumed with what they've built into nothingness. See, here's the thing. He said, if you're not doing it God's way, you're building a big, fat nothingness, emptiness, and worthlessness. Why? Because when he comes and you're with him, everything down here matters none anymore. And what a lot of people do, well, it has no echoes into eternity. Amen. Now, go to Matthew 6 and verse 33. Because I know a lot of people can't be, they're too nearsighted. And they can't see beyond what they're going through and in their life and dealing with. But here's what you don't understand and you're missing. Is that when you live your life out of whack and out of order, it's messing you up down here. But seek first the kingdom of God. What's he say? Put me first. Hey, parents, do your kids live with the idea that the kingdom of God is number one? Or is, hey, you don't feel like going to church today? Okay. Oh, but you know, we won't miss a practice. We won't miss an appointment. We won't miss a school function. But to bring our kids for a midweek service, God, no, can't do it. To make our kids be faithful to come to church and to hear from heaven and to sit under a pastor and to do things God's way. No, why? You're too consumed with the world. You're backwards. Your priorities are off. They're off. I know parents that will get their kids and rush around to every single thing but church. Worthlessness, nothingness, emptiness. And he said, if you seek first the kingdom, addition will be added to your life. All these things, what are the things? Well, if you look at the verses before, it's talking about the things that you need in life. Things that will bless you. The things we're striving for. Amen. So it pays down here, not just up there. Now, what is the foundation we want to build on? The Word. Go to Matthew 7 and verse 24. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold off on saying that till we get down here a little ways, but I'm going to say it, Lord, don't worry. Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, that's the Word, abiding in Him, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built, remember we're all building? Built his house on the rock. What are you building? And what are you building on? You're all building something. He says, build his house on the rock, and the rains descend, the floods come, and the winds blow. That's the trials and tests of this life. And beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Oh, man. Which built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's your choice what you want to build upon. But let me say something. Are you okay with what you're building? Now, you might want to hold off until you answer that. Are you okay with what you're building? Because what you're building, you have to live in it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. What you're building for your kids and sowing into their lives and their todays is what they're going to live in their tomorrows. I know, sobering. Talk about kids in church and it gets quiet. Go to Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now get this now. We use this financially a lot, but it's not just financially. Whatsoever. Everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever. A man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I keep going back to kids. I don't know why. But before I say anything about the kids, when you sow strife, you're setting up a strife room for you to live in. When you sow lack of mercy, you're setting up a lack of mercy room for you to dwell in. That's what you're building. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Yep. What do you want to live in? Are you okay with what you're building? That's what he'll also reap, for he, verse 8, that sows to his flesh, that sows to the world, shall reap corruption. You know what corruption is? Destruction. But he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, we know this. Jesus said, don't love the world. The world is passing away. The world does not have anything to do with God. Remember, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So, think about your children. What are you pumping into them? Parents, what are you pumping into your kids? Now, for those who aren't parents, what are you pumping into your own life? Because the Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you're sowing, whatever you're pumping into them, it's going to show up. So, if you're pumping corruption, which is the world, into them, not pumping the things of God, the Word of God, church, being a blessing, doing the things God's way, guess what? Your kids will reap someday. Brother Hagin used to say this, and he said, I was 100% successful every time. He said, he pastored for 12 years. He said, I can tell you how every single one of the kids in the church is going to turn out. And he said, 100% of the time it came to pass what I said. Just by the word. It's the truth. Amen. People always say, well, Pastor Mike, your kids have no choice now, and it's easy for you to say that. They're only 9 and they're 6. You're going by what natural people would say. My Bible says that if I train my children the right way, when they are older, they won't depart from the things of God. That's what it says. Amen. Instilling into them. God's house, God's ways, God's plans, God's purposes. This is how we act. This is how we talk. This is what we do with our money. This is what we do on Sunday mornings. This is what we do on Wednesday. No compromise. What am I doing? I'm sowing life into them, and guess what? I'm going to reap life. But go ahead. Keep sowing the world. Keep sowing the world and sowing the world and sowing the world. The Bible says you will reap corruption. What's Pastor Mike trying to do? Not beat you over the head, spare you from some things. That's what I'm trying to do. Not only for when he comes back, because God is going to look at you, moms and dads and guardians, and say, what'd you do with those kids? I told you they needed a pastor, and you're never there. I told you that the plan in the house of God, they'd flourish, and it's not important. But this is important during the week, and that school function's important, and that recreation thing's important. I told you. And now they're walking in things, because I told you through your pastor you'd reap some things. You didn't make any adjustments. Amen. Man, I hope they have some good, fun things at the picnic. Oh, man, you're going to be tossing eggs at me. I'll be running for the hills. Think you're just mad and being mean. No, I love you so much. I told this on Wednesday and I'll tell it again. When I was over in the storefront across the parking lot, there was that's where we started the church, and there was a couple I was dealing with. This was years ago. You know, it would be 9 years in September, so this would have been probably 7-8 years ago. And I was dealing with a mom and dad. See, here's the unfortunate things with our children, is they don't have the faith that we can have. Our kids are at the mercy of what we put into them. They are. Yeah. And you might not see it right away, but you will see it because God is not mocked. And people that say, oh, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. You're being deceived if you don't take this seriously. And they were sowing some things into their children and the way they were and things. And I was picking up some things in my spirit and trying to encourage them, do things God's way, do things God's way, do things God's way. And all they could see was in front of them. Really short-sighted. And the Lord gave me a vision. Now, I've only had a few visions, but this was one of them. And it was a vision on a train. They were on a train, and they were in the back of one of the cars sitting there. It was open, like open train. It wasn't enclosed. And they're sitting there. And the train came to a Y in the tracks. One part tracks go this way, one go this way. Well, the one track, you could see off in the distance, it looked really dark. And the way I describe it is it looked like a Tim Burton movie, where everything's dead, dark, gray, you know, dried up, no life there. And that was that way. And you could sense going that way that there was despair, grief, and sorrow. And then the other track, you could see down the track from the Y, you could see vibrant colors, and the sun was shining, and all these colors, and there was joy, a sense of joy. Well, I saw them take both ways in the vision, and I knew what the Lord was showing me, what would happen if they didn't do things the right way. And the one way they went towards the darkness, and there were three children, and the one child turned around and looked at me in the vision, and her face was filled with grief, sorrow, and despair. And I knew that if things didn't get better with mom and dad, that's where they're going. And I saw this way. They went this way towards the vibrant colors and the sunshine and how great it was. And the same child looked back at me and had a smile on their face as wide as could be and full of joy. And I told mom and dad that. I said, I'm not making this up. I said, I was just minding my own business, and the Holy Ghost gave me this, and I saw it. It was like a picture. I saw it. And I said, if you don't get this right, this is what's going to come to pass. Oh, that's not going to come to pass. Well, I'm here to tell you, it would have been about 4 or 5 years later. They didn't listen to me. Short-sighted, you know. Too consumed with themselves in the world to do things God's way. Didn't listen to me. And guess what? That thing, that child, oh, it happened. The grief, the sorrow, and the despair absolutely came over that child. So much so that because we have young ears in the audience today, I won't even tell you and go into the depths of what happened. But now, knowing naturally what happened, I can see, yeah, that was that grief. That was that sorrow and that despair that I saw. And he's telling you, say, well, you didn't give me a vision. That's your vision. Whatever you're sowing in your kids, there will be a harvest. Whatever you're sowing in your life, there will be a harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. You know, you plant a garden and maybe, you know, your kids like to help you, or you plant a garden for yourself and to get vegetables, and you plant things to be a blessing, right? That's why people do it. They do all the work and plant the stuff. How many of you, you know, when you plant, you know, I know like we don't have a garden, but if we did, especially this one would be right in the middle of it all. She'd be just right there wanting to be in the middle of it, and Caleb would want to be there too, but she really wanted to be there. And so she'd be in the garden. And we'd be in the garden. How many of you, when you go to plant a garden, or anybody that you know plants a garden, do they plant poison ivy? I'm going to plant poison ivy. I don't know how, if it's, you just put the vine to the ground, seed, I don't know, but however you plant poison ivy, I'm going to plant poison ivy because I want to see poison ivy grow up. I want to walk around in poison ivy. I want to work with poison ivy. I want my kids to go in there and dig around in the poison ivy. It's foolishness, but every day we're sowing worldly stuff into our lives and into our children, and we don't see down the road when you plant that poison ivy and you put it under the ground. You know, are you that short-sighted to know what's going to come up out of the ground and what you're going to experience? No, you're not that dumb. But for some reason, the devil hoodwinks people. And they just continue to do things the world's way and continue to do things the world's way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was on a lawnmower recently, and I was praying about a situation. Well, first of all, before I tell you about that situation, go to Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. I do feel the need to say this because some of us have grown kids and they're gone, and maybe you didn't know this stuff, and maybe you didn't have an opportunity like you would now, and maybe you'd think to yourself, man, if I'd have known that back then, listen to me. God's plan is never backwards. And anybody out there that's taking thoughts, you're listening to the devil right now. If you're getting into shame, guilt, and condemnation, you are listening to the devil because that's not how God does things. Amen. It's the truth. What does God want? Why does the devil want you in guilt, shame, and condemnation? Because that robs the faith that you would need for your children. Right now. Amen. The goal now is get into faith. Lord, I didn't know this. He's not holding you to it. Okay, let me help you now. Let me help you now. Let me help you now. Praise God. Pastor Mike Anderson suffered a whole lot because of things he didn't know. And thank God my kids won't have to now. Because I know something different. But I had to suffer it. I'm not going to sit around, beat myself up for everything I did wrong and all the things I walked into and experienced. No, it's over with. Be a person of faith and go forward. Praise God. And Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man, women included, of course, shall abound with blessings. We are all faithful to something. Are we? We're all faithful to something. Some of us are very faithful to things that the Lord would say is unimportant, is worthless, is useless. I was on a lawnmower, and praying about a situation in somebody's family member. And what can we do to help with that family member? And I know what I had desired to do and I've done in the past. It's worked. So I thought, well, I'll do that, you know. And the Lord said to me, because of the unfaithfulness of the other family member that wants the family member changed, this family member will never, ever submit to the things of God because of the unfaithfulness and the seeds of the world and the seeds of their own life. That's what I'm saying. Like, are you set apart at your workplaces? Are you set apart in your family? Or do you just look like, if you don't care, see, doing things God's way, it carries power with it. Yes. It carries power with it. And it causes a catalyst of change. Amen. Do you know that the Bible says that a woman, and this will include for men, can win over her husband to the Lord by her behavior? Her godly behavior? Oh, absolutely. The devil will tell you it'll push him away. God will say no, it'll help you.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest apostles in the early 1900s, he was an evil, nasty man before he got saved. And he would, his wife, he'd give her a hard time about going to church, you know, and just make fun of her. Well, she got home from church one night, he said, I'll fix her wagon, and locked her out. Couldn't get back in. And it was a cold fall evening or something. She didn't bang on the door and beat on the door and start screaming and yelling and doing all this stuff and putting on a show. She laid at the doorstep and slept all night. And he woke up the next morning. He thought, that's weird. Where is she? You know, he thought, I'm gearing up for a battle. He opens the door and almost trips over her. And she stands up and gives him a kiss and says, honey, what would you like for breakfast? Now, that can be, you can't get that into a ditch here. No woman's supposed to be a doormat. But she had on her heart, I'm going to show him the love of God. I'm going to be on fire for God. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, come see me after. I'll give you the reference and we'll look at it. That you can win over by the conversation or behavior. And the Lord said to me, this family member will never change because of how they are. So they could and they should change, but they won't change because of that. Unfaithfulness robs them of blessings. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, couldn't we have saved this for non-picnic day? I mean, I'm serious. Now I'm going to say something by the Holy Ghost because it just came up in my spirit. Why would you listen to the devil ever when you know he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you? You wouldn't. That's silly. In this room right now, there is a spirit of condemnation. Like a blanket is trying to rest upon you and wrap itself around you. And I'm telling you, it's from the pit of hell. And the way that you rebuke that, as you say, in the name of Jesus, you get off me. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And go to Lamentations 3 and verse 22, and this will end here. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Sow the right things into your family. Sow the right things into your life. Don't sit around and waste things away. And yeah, we rebuke that spirit of condemnation. We rebuke that spirit of condemnation right now in the name of Jesus. It's not okay to get into condemnation. Now, you're here and you might think to yourself, well, he's talking about me today and I've been just sowing nothing but the world. I mean, I've been reaping some things. And here's the awesome thing with God. Lamentations 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. So the topic here is mercies and compassions. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Every morning. Nobody here is sitting here and telling you, you unfaithful thing, you're horrible, what's the matter with you? No, we're saying, stop it with the wrong sowing. Stop it with planting the poison ivy for your life that you're going to walk into and not be happy about. Start doing things the right way. And God is saying and calling you up higher with this verse and saying, today's a brand new day. See, those of you that are in condemnation about your past, God didn't even know about your past. He's not concerned about your past. The devil is, and he's going to keep telling you and telling you and telling you and telling you to get you to grab onto that. And those of you that are here say, well, I've put everything but God first in my kids. My kids, I mean, I live my life and I talk like my co-workers talk. I live like my co-workers live. I'm love the world. Okay, so what? Today's a brand new day.
Amen.
Today's a brand new day. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. 1 John 1 and 9, and we'll close with this verse. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Sometimes it stinks to be the pastor. It does, because you got to say what God says sometimes, and what he says sometimes is not popular and does not go down easy. Sometimes you make your kids have to eat stuff that they don't like, but it's good for them. And you're not the most popular parent when you do that. It's the truth. But you do it because it's good for them. What's the alternative, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, go ahead. Live however you want. That whole Jesus coming back thing, worry about that when he gets here. Hey, it's okay. It's okay that the house of God and the things of God are down on the totem pole of priorities for you and your family. It's okay. Because that's the alternative of what you could get from me. Don't worry about it. Grace has it covered. Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want. I know it says that we're going to reap what we sow, and if we sow into the world, we're going to reap corruption. But that doesn't apply to us. It's 2019. That's not popular. Because there are churches all over America that are telling you it's grace, 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 grace. You can do whatever you want. Live however you want. It's covered under grace. And the devil's devouring people because of it. So what's the... Now, I'm not saying that to back you off of some of the looks I get and some of the pressure you feel. But I'm asking you, what do you want from this pulpit? A Holy Ghost preacher who will actually share in the Word and tell you and warn you? Or somebody that's so afraid that what they're going to look like or what they're going to say to me and just set you up for failure? No, we can't do it. I love you too much. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Why? His mercies are new today. Hallelujah. His mercies are new today. Let's go forward in a new way. Sowing new seeds. Building the right life for us. If you say, what is the right life for you? I hate to break this to you. The church ought to be the center of your life. Say, I don't have time to take you down this road. Everything, whether blessing or not blessing, comes from the hub of where your pastor is. Amen. Jesus said, without the shepherd and being fed by the shepherd, remember he told Peter, if you love me, Peter, if you love me, John chapter 21, three times, if you love me, the number one thing he said you can show me if you love me is if you make sure my sheep are fed. He said, without a shepherd, sheep are scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He gave gifts unto men. The first thing that Jesus did when he went back up to heaven, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says he ascended on high. He first descended and he sent it back up. But before he descended, he gave gifts unto men. What did he give? The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. Why? The next verse in Ephesians 4:12 says, so the saints would be perfected, so their lives would get better. Amen. And people don't have a revelation that the center of, if you would make church and the Word of God the center of your lives, everything else would start to come and be added and blessing. You'd be planting good seeds for the future. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're just trying to get us to come to church. Well, if you're called here, yes, I am. Right. But you know, it's funny. I'll preach the same message if there's one, if there's 1,000. Right. It's the truth. We're trying to get you to sow good seeds. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so many people... Practice is not going to save your kids someday. Recreation, but the things that they're instilled in here will change their lives. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Father, we're just so thankful, so grateful. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for what you've done for us here today. We're so grateful and so thankful. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar, devil. We're going forward in a new way. We're going forward in a better way. We're going forward in a greater way. So, Father, we just thank you so much for the warnings, for the admonition, for the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. Because some people are so short-sighted that eventually they're going to walk into their crumbling and their seeds that they sow. Because you're not mocked, Father. I'm just saying what you're saying. And they're going to say, my God, why didn't I change when I had time? Why didn't I change when it was there? Why didn't I make the adjustment? Make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. And whether you do or not does not affect my life in the sense that I still am going to raise my kids in the Word. I'm still going to raise my kids doing the Word with our money, doing the Word in my home, and still get the reaping that I'm going to get, regardless if you do or not. And I'll be sad for you, and my heart will be broken. But there's no agendas here except to see you get better, to see you go further in God, to see you grow in God. Father, we love you today. We praise your holy name. Thank you for this message, Lord. We're thankful for the shouting and the jumping and the running and the praising messages just as much as we are for the sobering messages. But Lord, we're grateful that your mercies are new. That even if we've been, if we'd get an F on our paper for failing so far up to this point, who cares? There's tomorrow. There's today. There's right now that you're saying, let's go. Let's go. I got better for you. You're so good. You're so kind and so merciful. Yeah. Yeah, we need to build better things, sow better things, that we can walk into better things. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is yes. I know it. And you say, how do you know for sure, Pastor? Well, just like God instructs us on what to do, how to live and things, he tells us how to get to heaven. He's made it clear. And I did what he said. So because I did what he said, I get what he said I could have, which is eternity. He said, if I would call on the name of the Lord, I'd be saved. If I'd believe on Jesus, I would not perish, but have everlasting life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that eternity would be mine. Listen, don't let this moment pass from you. You're not... Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. I don't care if you ever go to church again. That's not how you get to heaven. Your good deeds outweighing your bad. Say, man, I was kind of a bad person. I did a lot of bad things. That can't keep you out of heaven. Just like you say, I'm really moral. I must be going to heaven. No, your morality can't get you into heaven. Well, I'm kind of a cheapskate. That's okay. It doesn't have to cost anything either to get in. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here, you say, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I want to. There's only two qualifications. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. Number two, you must receive him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you. Have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, nobody looking around. Again, you're not joining this church. You don't have to ever come back to the church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You want to receive Jesus? Would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never done it before? If you've never done it before. Hallelujah. I know we have some hands that people have done it before, but I'm telling you, if you've done this before, you need to have the revelation that you don't have to do it again. Because he saved you. He's not taking it back. And, you know, sometimes I'll go ahead and pray anyways, but it's time for some people to realize that he's not taking it back from you. He's not changing. Anybody want to receive Jesus for the very first time? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody want to receive Jesus for the very first time? Lift your hand high in the air. Anybody else? Father, I thank you that you made it simple. Now, for those that raised their hand, or if you should have, maybe you're just shy or embarrassed, or if you're listening online and obviously we can't see your hand, or listening in the future, there's only one thing left to do. It's just to receive Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, everybody, along with the people that raised their hands or should have raised their hands, go ahead and repeat this after me. And if you are somebody that's raised your hands multiple times, let this be the last time and make it a reality in your heart and in your mind that you've received Jesus. So go ahead, everybody in the church, let's lift our voice and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet and worship him this morning. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He gave you a pastor to tell you the truth. Thank you, Lord. We bless you this morning. We glorify you. We thank you for your mercies. And Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to eat over at the picnic. We thank you that it's blessed our body. And Father, we just ask you to bless the people that have taken time to set things up, take time to prepare, those that have brought things, spent money, taken time to make things. Lord, bless all that are involved. Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity to fellowship and spend time with one another today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please head on over to the picnic. You're dismissed.